want, just dial toll-free 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. We're rolling into hour number three of the program, and you can bring up anything, 800-259-9231. Ian here with you.
And Julia.
And Mark.
Join us online at freetalklive.com. All the features on the site we give away, so enjoy those on us. Again, that's freetalklive.com. And this show is brought to you by our friends over at SACL CAI. They have a full-orbed approach to account recovery. It's really three companies in one. They do collections, early out billing, and they purchase charged-off receivables. SACL knows the way they treat your customer reflects on you. Their staff is respectful, they record every call, and they have the best equipment money can buy, so your business is handled as efficiently as possible. See their banner at freetalklive.com. That's SACL CAI. As we continue with your phone calls about whatever you want to discuss, let's go first to Jamie, listening in Colorado. Jamie, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, Ian. Hey. How's it going?
What's on your mind tonight, Jamie?
I ran across something on the Chicago Sun-Times about Chicago public schools purchasing, 30 cappuccino machines, racking up a bill of $67,000.
Wow. Were those for the teachers, the administration?
They were trying to say that they were for the schools, but the schools really didn't know what to do with them, you know, when they saw that they purchased all these
cappuccino machines. Why would a school need an espresso machine?
Sounds like something for the teacher's lounge.
Yeah.
Sure.
Wait, was it the whole district that purchased the 30 machines, or was it one school? I missed that point.
Well, it seems that way because it says here others included high school staffers changing grades to pump up transcripts of student athletes and workers at a restricted enrollment grade school, falsifying addresses. So I don't know if they were trying to do that for grants or something to be able to purchase these cappuccino machines.
But I'm still confused. I don't know if that answered my question. Do you feel as though it was one school that made the purchase of 30 machines or the entire district? I missed that point.
I'm thinking it's probably the whole district.
The whole district, yeah, that's what would make most sense. So we'll just buy cappuccino machines for every teacher's lounge in the district.
That's right. And it's kind of absurd because, with how they feed the children in the school, why would they feed them full of cappuccino?
No, those are not for the kids. They're clearly for the administrators and
sure.
The teachers. So any other thoughts for us tonight?
That's pretty much it. I thought
that's crazy.
That was...
Didn't I hear that there was that same school district? I think I saw this story. And that same school district is now begging for contributions so they can buy toilet paper. Isn't that right?
Right. I'm sure that's what it's coming down to.
Yep, I think that was another part of the story. I thank you for the call tonight, 800-259-9231. So they spent their budget on buying cappuccino machines and didn't have enough left over for toilet paper. Nice.
Well, the whole idea of using toilet paper at school, nice.
What's that supposed to mean?
You know girls use toilet paper too, right?
Yeah, but I'm sure that what they have to do is they have to use this, you know, wet, sopping. I mean, I'm sure it's disgusting.
What? I have never used wet, sopping toilet paper in my whole life.
You're lucky that they haven't vandalized the toilet paper. I mean, I'm sorry that public restrooms seem to have disgusting toilet paper that somebody's vandalized on a regular basis. I
hate that problem.
I hate public restrooms.
I do too, but I didn't have that problem. I don't
know. Wasn't that bad.
You obviously had some issues.
Let's go to Joe. Joe's gone. Let's talk to Dave in Athens. Dave, listening to WAIS.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, what's on your mind, Dave?
You guys brought back a sad memory to me. When I was in seventh grade, it was before the college-age prison experiments with the college students.
Mm-hmm.
We were doing a play, The Germans versus the Jews.
Oh, dear.
And we had to dress up the parts. And I, unfortunately, was a German.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think there was a good part in that particular play.
This doesn't sound like an entertaining play at all. It sounds a little, maudlin.
We had to act the parts, and I didn't want to, and so others didn't, but we were forced to. Yeah. And this was in 1980-81.
What happened?
Did you load people into ovens and things like that?
Not that far.
Okay, that's good. Just put them on the trains.
Yeah.
That's sad. That's a sad story, Dave. Thanks for the call tonight. 800-259-9231. We continue. Talk to Cliff in Miami. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Cliff.
Hey, guys, and lady, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, good. Super. What's on your mind?
On my mind is kind of like a reply to what Mark was saying last night in regards to Gaza, because I called in and I couldn't hear you guys. I heard the, I finally got to hear it on podcast. But anyways, the one thing that I think is still missing, Mark, is this. Imagine if in New Hampshire, some other country or Massachusetts comes in and invades New Hampshire, for instance, and corners you guys against one other state, or let's say Vermont. So you have Vermont on one side, Massachusetts takes over half the land, and more than half the land. It sees you guys in the corner, and you have another border with whatever else you have. Okay, but now they're all walled off, and basically you're now old Mark, and your son is now an adult, and where your property used to be, it's not owned by somebody else because they just took it over. So basically now he's walled off somewhere where he can't do anything. he can't really have a future because he can't get out. Nobody wants to take him out. And, you know, the thing is, when you take a look at people from Vermont and people from New Hampshire, I'm sure you'll see there's a distinction. So just because, you know, you guys are all American doesn't mean that you guys are all the same. So
there's
equating up. So equating up, you know, all Muslims, because they're Muslims too in Egypt, they're not the same. They're not the same. Even when you take a look at the West Bank, for instance, it's not the same as the Gaza Strip.
You don't think that there's a moral obligation to for Jordan and Egypt and those other Muslim countries to take in the Palestinians? Because this is the part that it seems like Muslims and people that support Palestine just don't get. You know, the only solution, it seems, and to me this seems like an inadequate solution, is that Israel must go away. And the fact is, there are a bunch of people alive today, the vast majority of people in Israel went there, they bought their property, they were given their property in from these kibbutzes or whatever, and they've worked to improve that property. That's their property. And I understand that that property was taken illegally, however, immorally, maybe it was legal, I suppose. But what are we going to do about that? Because then the property that you've got there in Miami belongs to some Seminole Indians, and you better just go ahead and give it up, son.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's two different things, because one is like you're talking about hundreds of years as opposed to, like, you know, your kid's lifetime. But I mean, the main point is
Wait. It is on a continuum, but when does it end? And how? What portion of land can these Palestinians point to? Because many of them didn't own that much land. What if they were renters? You know, what if they were renting their land? What if they were sheep herders and had a great deal of land, and now a bunch of houses are on there? Should all those houses be torn down? I think that the moral obligation at this point in time, because I can't do anything about what happened in 1940, at this point in time, the moral obligation lies with the other Muslim countries to take these people in. To say, okay, you can be a citizen.
Okay, I mean, it's just for Mark. I mean, let's go back to the same analogy I gave you in the beginning. I mean, do you think Zach basically would just have to give up the property that you bought with your, you know, you bought and you've done things to, you built your own house over there. Now,
yes.
Do you think that Zach, let's say, you know, when this happens, he was already a kid and he had memories of this place. Do you think he should just stay in his little prison and not do anything about it and just try and hope that, you know, that Vermont.
I have a good idea. Why doesn't Jack pick up a weapon and kill a bunch of people that didn't have anything to do with it?
No, I'm asking, what do you think should happen in that case?
I don't know. Here's what I'm telling you. I'm telling you, man, the best I can come up with is that the United States should not give any money to Israel. It should not give any money to Egypt. It should not give any money to Jordan. It should not give any money to any of these countries.
I'll accept that. I'll
whatever.
Accept that.
And it is all you're asking me to do is pick a side, whether it's Red Sox or White Sox.
No, not at all. I'm not asking you to pick a side. I'm saying what I hate is not hearing that other side, because I think people will choose the side that they hear. So just think it's important that someone has to present the other side, otherwise.
I agree,
you know,
totally.
Let's stick with the status here.
There's a mess down there, and I think that we've said that, and I've tried to be clear on that. I'm just trying to be as fair as I possibly can, and I don't know what the time frame is for a property to be returned to someone, but I can tell you that it is not half a century.
Thanks, Cliff, for the call.
Okay.
As always, 800-259-9231. That is the SACL CAI toll-free line, and you can bring up anything still to come here in moments. We'll tell you about a jail superintendent or a sheriff that's in some big trouble. Free Talk Live.
It's time for the Finally Thin Radio Minute with tips, information, and motivation to achieve your own success on any weight loss plan. Here's your host, noted author and diet expert,
Kim Benson.
I know how busy everyone is, but wanting to lose weight is not enough to make it happen. It takes action. It takes more action than it does willpower. Making over your home environment is one of the best ways to avoid temptation and stay on the wagon. One of the first and most important actions you can take to prepare your home for your weight loss journey is to go shopping and fill your fridge, cupboards, and freezer with healthy foods that you find appealing. Create your list and carry it with you when you shop, and you'll be amazed at how many delicious options you've got. Since new products hit the grocery store all the time, make sure you update it frequently. Choose the light products that are your favorite. Start by reading labels. It can be frustrating and even overwhelming at first, but once you get the hang of it and know what to look for and what to avoid, you're ready to shop. For the Finally Thin Radio Minute, I'm Kim Benson.
For a transcript of this show and others, please visit KimBenson.com. Kim Benson tried every diet going, but yo-yoed her way to 350 pounds. Then she did it. 212 pounds later, she is finally thin. How she did it and how you can too is all in her new book, Finally Thin. Finally Thin breaks down success into a 10-step system showing readers exactly how she accomplished her weight loss goal. A must-have for anyone trying to lose weight. Finally Thin by Kim Benson is available wherever books are sold.
Looking for profit? Looking for safety and security? The $10 Olympic commemorative gold coin offers both. This low-mintage collector coin with a total series mintage under $600,000 has sold at four times its current price. Falling dollar values and inflation make this likely to happen again. Secure your position today. Call Midas Resources at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
How many times have you been in the dark looking for a flashlight, only to find the one that you have is broken, the batteries are dead, or it's just not bright enough? You need the Packlight. The Packlight is the longest-lasting flashlight on the market and simply snaps onto any 9-volt battery and uses two high-powered LED lights. It's small enough to carry in your pocket, car, garage, and home. The Packlight can survive severe impact, be frozen solid, and still work flawlessly. The Packlight is so durable, soldiers overseas rely on them, and has been featured in the New York Times and Backpacker magazine. The Packlight comes with a 25-year warranty, and prices start at just $12.99. To learn more and see for yourself just how incredible this small flashlight can be, visit 9voltlight.com. That address again is 9voltlight.com. Or call us today at 877-715-4448. That's 877-715-4448.
Every 22 seconds, a violent crime is committed. Are you concerned about your personal safety? Why wait for something bad to happen when you can take action now? Be smart. Be safe. Trust pepper spray instead of your luck. Pepperspray.com is the only website you'll ever need for all your non-lethal self-defense supplies. Pepperspray.com carries one of the largest assortments of pepper spray and personal safety products on the web, including mace, animal repellents, stun guns, and tasers. Pepperspray.com also carries a large assortment of products for personal, home, child, and pet safety. Pepperspray.com is proud to feature Saber brand Pink Ribbon Pepper Spray. For every Saber Pink Ribbon Pepper Spray sold, a donation will be made to the National Breast Cancer Foundation. Enter the word pepper in the coupon box and you'll receive 10% off your order. So what are you waiting for? Go to Pepperspray.com. That's Pepperspray.com or call 1-800-908-9988. Call today.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up anything. Just dial the toll-free number, 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. It is Ian here with you.
And Julia.
And Mark.
Join us online at freetalklive.com. All the features are free. They include the archives. So if you've missed a moment of the show, click and download right there on the front page of the website for your downloaded convenience. Totally free, freetalklive.com.
You know that email's not secure, but hey, privacy's dead anyway, right? Well, wrong. Introducing PrivacyHarbor.com. It's an easy-to-use, secure email alternative. You can sign up for a free account today. You need this, especially if you're in business. PrivacyHarbor.com. Get a free account today.
800-259-9231. We go here to a story that Julia has about a sheriff I thought it was a jail superintendent, but apparently it's the sheriff.
It says it's an Alabama sheriff.
Okay, what's the story? He's caught red-handed doing something naughty.
Right. An Alabama sheriff who made $212,000 in the last 3 years by feeding inmates what a judge said were skimpy portions was released from prison Thursday after submitting a plan pledging to feed them better.
Oh, he got out of jail just by saying, I'll be a good boy?
Yeah.
Nice.
Morgan County Sheriff Greg Bartlett profited legally from a Depression-era state law that allows sheriffs to keep any money that they can make by feeding inmates less than what they receive in state funding. Now, see, this is something that really bugs me. There's all of these ridiculous laws that don't make any sense that are left over from the, just, you know, the 30s, the 40s, whatever. Mm-hmm. And if you actually go and you can search the internet for all these stupid laws out there that, like, you can't tie a giraffe to a telephone pole or whatever.
Okay, yeah.
Just proves the point to me that they just constantly add laws. They never take any away.
No, they don't.
There's been civil activism here in New Hampshire on driver's licenses. I've always thought it was kind of silly because people, people understand why licenses are needed, and you know, maybe there's a better alternative. I wouldn't argue with that. However, people don't really get it, and I don't think that it really works. However, I think that a really great bit of activism that a person who wants to get active on driver's licenses and stuff like that is to ride a horse. There are all kinds of laws on the books that give horses the right of way. You can ride a horse right down the main road in New Hampshire.
Is that right?
carry a gun on your hip like...
Yeah, that's whistling.
Like you're Clint Eastwood or whatever, and they have to let you tie it up, all kinds of things. So, obviously the world isn't cut out for horses these days, but
yeah.
There was a time in Keene, New Hampshire, when horses were the main form of transportation.
Well, they are.
So they haven't taken those laws off the book that give horses the right of way.
Well, and they're called lawmakers, right? I mean, colloquially, that's what the legislators are referred to as. They're called lawmakers. Makers, not people who go into office looking to get rid of old laws.
Yeah, not law
well,
colors.
I mean, if you're going to have laws, it seems like maybe every 10 years they should clean it out a little, you know, go through them.
That would require work.
Yeah, like every law needs a sunset. Here's what my opinion is on laws. This whole idea of majority rules is... It's proven itself as not worth it.
It's just tyranny of the majority.
Now, it's true, but I think that you would agree that if we made, maybe that we'd have a better system if you made this some kind of super majority where you got 90% of legislators to agree. Now, I think you can get 90% of legislators to agree that murder's bad. I think you might be able to get 100% of legislators to agree that murder's bad,
mm-hmm.
which is, that's pretty severe. Now, on a jury, by the way, to convict someone of murder, you have to have all of the jurors in alignment. And I think you'd have a much better system if you had some kind of supermajority set up. That's how they've, in some towns here in New Hampshire, the budgets have to be passed by, certain percentages. And that's how they've managed to keep, the new and improved schools going in that are going to, rob the local taxpayers in a town nearby.
Yeah, if you're talking about tweaking democracy, as awful of a system as it is, that would certainly be a small improvement. I think you're right about that.
A small improvement? I think it'd be light years ahead of where it is.
It's still tyranny of the majority any way you slice it, but it's maybe a little less tyrannical. 800-259-9231. So what's the rest of the story here, Julia? He managed to cut costs so much that he essentially got money extra for his department.
$212,000.
Was it for him?
It says it's for him. It
for
says
him,
that
the
he
sheriff.
Reported it as profit on his tax return.
You gotta
so
remember,
it's personally for the
wow.
sheriff.
When this was passed, I mean, you're talking about the sheriff was the keeper of the county jail, essentially. He's the guy in charge of management of it, and likely he had a couple of people, to help him out. But most of these, these jails weren't that big of an institution.
Is this an old law?
Yes.
Yeah, it's just a Depression era. That's what we were just talking
about. Gotcha. I wonder where that came from.
Right. It's saying that this is a law that was on the books from 1930, and it's still on the books. So that the sheriff can keep any extra money. So he basically found this loophole and has been profiting a lot from it.
At the cost of the prisoners.
Right. It says here the inmates who testified against him said that they were forced to eat meager meals of paper-thin bologna, bloody chicken, and cold grits, and then had to pay out of their pocket to supplement their diets with high-priced snacks from the jail.
Wow. Well, that is sad.
Usually it's the jail doesn't make money on the commissary situation. I mean, they probably have some kind of contract where they make some kind of money. But some outside company sells the Zoom Zooms and Wham Whams to the convicts.
Yeah, but if you're getting your nutrition from a Twinkie instead of...
and bloody chicken?
Yeah.
Oh, no doubt. It's terrible. It's terrible. So the judge has ordered that this guy be released after the judge or the sheriff's lawyer submitted a plea.
Well, this is a simple remedy. I mean, the legislature made this problem, and they could solve this problem. Inmates need to get 2,000 calories per day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There you go.
So.
And why should the sheriff be able to pocket extra money? Shouldn't the taxpayers get that back?
Exactly. Well, which is why I was going to say it's a stupid law in the first place. I don't care when they put that law on the books.
If there's extra money, give it back to the people who you took it from in the first place.
Well, I think that I think it's a good law in this manner, because that sheriff never spent his entire budget and said, then, I need more money to feed these convicts.
Yeah.
I don't have enough money to feed these convicts. And then grew his budget every single year like every other sheriff has grown every other budget out there. They love budgets. The food service director.
If we're talking about feeding people, I don't think that's that big of a deal.
It's not that big of a deal, but
there are a lot of other budgets.
Every government budget works. The food service director wants to have bigger budgets so he can have more people, so he can be a bigger...
So they're getting more money every year, presumably, or at least the same amount of money, and he's feeding them less and less so he can pocket more of it?
I see some problems with it. Absolutely.
Yeah, he may have been increasing his budget anyway,
it
Mark.
It says here...
But the judge isn't taking responsibility for what he's doing, which is incarcerating all these people before their court dates. The fact is, the only person who should be incarcerated before their court date is somebody who is legitimately a flight risk.
Somebody who's violent, perhaps.
It says here that 55 of Alabama's 67 counties operate under a similar system that allows them to make money operating their jail kitchens.
Man, that's just corrupt right on its face.
The state pays sheriffs $1.75 a day for each prisoner, and then they let the elected officers keep any profits they make.
1-800-259-9231. It's all a system for the system. The system by the system for the system. It's all about them, not about you. 1-800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. Coming up, kids, government schools, indoctrination. What's it all about? What about adolescence? Should it even exist? We'll talk about it.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com. Or call 866-598-7396. 866-598-7396.
With rising unemployment and an economy that continues to fail comes an increase in crime. Are you safe when you walk to your car? Are your kids safe when they go out? Everyone needs something to give that extra edge in case of an attack. You need DPS pepper spray from MrDefense.com. DPS is the strongest pepper spray on the market and is the same spray used by hundreds of law enforcement agencies from around the world. Need something more? The Stinger keychain is a great way to surprise a potential attacker. Mr. Defense carries the largest selection of stun guns, air tasers, knives, swords, batons, survival, spy, and tactical gear.
Mention this ad and receive 10% off your order. Visit MrDefense.com. That's MRDefense.com or call 1-800-313-6400. 1-800-313-6400. That's 1-800-313-6400 today.
Are you tired of the high cost of home energy bills? Millennium Technologies has an answer that every listener to this station needs to hear. An Australian inventor has developed a generator that is powered by the energy of magnets. And through this technology, the ability to power a typical home with this generator has arrived. This high-tech generator harnesses the power of permanent magnets and requires no fossil fuel to produce electrical power. Visit agreeneralternative.com to learn how you can qualify to have a similar, larger, more advanced unit installed in your home by Millennium Technologies with no cost to you ever. As a promotional offer, a limited number of units will be available at no cost to kick off our program. To learn more and see a 5-minute independent TV news story on this revolutionary new device, please visit us online at agreeneralternative.com. That's agreeneralternative.com. Or call 815-648-4400. That's 815-648-4400.
You worry. You see the signs and worry about the future. You worry about economic turmoil and food shortages. How to be prepared while preserving your sanity? Your answer may be at hand. Author Linda Runyon lived off the land, isolated from civilization. She knows that as long as the sun shines, there will be plenty of free food all over God's green earth. Perhaps the only sane insurance is knowledge of wild edible plants. The cost of learning is minimal. Wild food grows everywhere, and you will see it everywhere. It's every bit organic and more nutritious than our modern diets. Well respected in her field, Linda's approach to teaching this subject includes books, flashcards, and video with an emphasis on health, safety, practicality, and joy. Learn how to identify it, where and when to find it, how to prepare, use, and store it. Go to Linda's website, ofthefield.com, and take advantage of special offers. Or if you're not online, call her 24-hour toll-free order line at 888-51-EAT-FREE. That number again, 888-51-EAT-FREE. A little knowledge makes starvation impossible.
You're listening to GCN, the Genesis Communication Radio Network.
The show is Free Talk Live, and you can bring up anything. Just dial toll-free 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. 1-800-259-9231. You can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features are free, and they include the Shrine of Female Listeners, the dozens of ladies who've sent us their validated photo to prove they listen to the show. Head over to shrine.freetalklive.com and see what it's all about. That's shrine.freetalklive.com.
The Institute for Humane Studies is now offering free seminars over spring break. They also have them during the summer breaks, too. This March, libertarians from across the country for an intense and interdisciplinary exploration of classical liberal and libertarian thought. Participation free. The IHS provides housing and meals, significantly better than the meals that the sheriff was providing people. During the conference, apply now to attend a seminar at the University of California, Santa Cruz, March 7th through the 12th, or at Emory University in Atlanta, Georgia, March 14th through the 19th. Visit libertarianseminars.com for more information. That's libertarianseminars.com.
All right, we continue here. This story from lewrockwell.com, Doug French, talking about adolescence. In his book, Democracy, the God That Failed, Hans Hoppe argued, how do you pronounce that?
Hoppe? I don't know.
Hoppe? Argued that democracy and government has made people less farsighted and not as concerned with providing for ever more distant goals.
What's he proposing, autocracies?
Thus, society is tending toward de-civilization. As Hoppe described, adults are being turned into children. Children have very high time preferences, living day to day and from one immediate gratification to the next, Hoppe explained. American society has essentially lengthened childhood by creating adolescence. In a very provocative new book, The Case Against Adolescence, Recovering the Adult in Every Teen, psychologist Robert Epstein contends that when mammals reach puberty, they function as adults.
I've been saying this for years.
Except in America, that is. Starting 100 years ago, Americans gradually increased the age of adulthood to what many Americans now believe to be 26. You've heard 30 is the new 20 and 50 is the new 30. Soon, we'll all be kids again. Epstein argues effectively.
I've actually heard, it was a psychologist that I went to when I was in high school. He said that 34 was the age of adulthood.
Is that right?
For him.
That's,
you know,
insane.
Like, psychologically.
I just think this is all madness, this whole idea of extending childhood.
It is crazy, but if you really, if you go out and talk to most 22-year-olds, 24-year-olds, they can't take care of themselves. It's amazing. They're still, in some fashion, hanging on to their parents.
Well, don't the people on welfare, I mean, people often say they can't take care of themselves, too, and many of them are well over the age of adulthood.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the reason they can't take care of themselves
is because
they don't have to take care of themselves. If you take your 18-year-old and give him the boot out the door, he is going to learn real quick how to survive and do, and he's going to learn life's lessons much more quickly.
But if you helicopter over him and hover and provide and pick up the pieces where he drops them for you, then that's not going
to
help.
Right. To me, there's a parenting style that works significantly better. And
letting your kid make mistakes and learn from them on his own.
I think you should be a resource for your kids so that they make fewer mistakes. You don't want them to make every mistake in life, but they have to be able to make their own decisions, and then they have to have the consequences of those decisions. However, I think when it comes to things like buying vehicles and college and stuff like that, that a parent can help financially, but that they should offer assistance. Okay, you want to go to such and such university? That's fine. At that particular university, I'm willing to pay 75% of the tuition when you pay 25%. Then we'll pull the money and put together and write a check. And that way they have to pay something for what it is that they're getting. And with a car, fine. I'm willing to help you out with purchasing an automobile because I would like you to be safe, and I don't want to have to take care of your invalid.
I had to buy my own car right off the bat.
I had to buy my own car, too.
Me, too.
I'm just saying.
My mom was nice enough to co-sign.
Some parents buy BMWs,
right.
You know?
My mom co-signed for a loan and said, if you don't pay this off and I end up paying for it, I'll kill you. And that was that. I paid off the loan early on my own and never looked back.
When I had my first vehicle or my first car, it was a real, it was a truck in my case, but it was something very that it was very pride. It involved a lot of pride in my case, and I felt good about it. I mean, it wasn't the most beautiful truck in the world, but it was mine, and that meant something. And I know that when it's the kids that their mom buys them the BMW or daddy buys them a new Lexus, it's their car because it was given to them. It's not the same. It's not the same as if you buy it yourself and you actually own it. You actually worked for the money to purchase it. It is truly your car at that point. And I think it's just a big mindset difference between somebody between a youngster who is working for the things that he possesses and a youngster who is being spoiled by his parents. But we've got a situation now with these young people today. Julia, you were saying that you know people who are in their early 20s.
Most of the people I know who are in fact, I can't think of anybody, with the exception of some like Free State Project members, I think, and people who I don't even really know, who I associate with online or whatever. I can't think of anybody I know in real life who is under the age of 22 who actually lives on their own and does not have mommy help them out with some kind of bill.
What about the 22-year-olds who have kids on top of all that? I mean, you've got young people who can't take care of themselves, and then they go and get knocked up. And then it's time to have a baby? What kind of madness is this? There's so many different factors that are involved here. Government schools, the indoctrination process that kids go through that encourages them to be more childlike for a longer period of time, discourages things that would normally create maturity, like getting into the workforce, getting to the workplace, and in dealing with people in a real-world environment.
Right. That's what creates maturity is the real world. And when you use the laws to systematically cut kids off, well, because kids need time to be kids. Well, kids need to be able to do whatever it is that they want to do. If I wanted to spend time playing with Star Wars figures right now, I could do that. That's fine. But, I can fly the Millennium Falcon around my office if that's what I want to do. But, this idea that kids need time to be kids is so disempowering. Yeah. I went to work at 12 years old, and I'll tell you what, it taught me about how life is and how life works.
Yeah, I had plenty of time to be a kid when I was a kid. But when I was growing up, I also was able to work for my mom and get some experience at dealing with customers and things like that. And when I was old enough to work legally, I ran right out and got a job. And I think that my experience in doing those things was incredibly beneficial to me as an adult.
When I was a kid, it's actually kind of interesting because my mom and dad are opposites on that end. My mom wanted me to get a job at 14, and mm-hmm. I got a job at 14, and my mom taught me how to work, and I thank her every day for it. It's probably the best thing she ever did for me, really.
Sure.
And my dad would always yell at me and my mom, and he had all kinds of strict rules about the hours I could work. I don't want you working except one day a week, blah, 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 blah. And he would get really, really, really angry. He did not want me to have a job. He wanted me to concentrate on my studies, do school work.
I have been there in life. I've definitely said, you know, that I'm going to take care of my kid until he's out of college, and had that way he can concentrate on his studies and all that other stuff. And I think it's, for some kids, that may be the right thing to do. And I'm not going to tell people how they should run their lives, but I think that there's some real value to be learned in real life and
Absolutely.
Going out and getting a job and that kind of thing.
And the fact is, the current system discourages that. Epstein, who wrote the book, The Case Against Adolescence, effectively argues that American culture collaborates in artificially extending childhood through public schooling as well as labor laws. In most of human history, young people worked side by side with adults from their early teens, with young women becoming wives and mothers. Early on, he fingers the labor unions as the culprits behind child labor laws. In 1881, the forerunner to the AFL-CIO made child labor a high priority.
Yep.
One of the AFL-CIO, or the rather the prior organization spokesman said this: "We are in favor of the passage of laws in the several states forbidding the employment of children under 14 in any capacity under penalty of fine and imprisonment." Why? Well, they didn't want competition from all those youngsters coming in doing their jobs better than them. It was a protectionist racket, first and foremost, that prevented young people from working after a certain point. 800-259-9231, that's after a certain point of time, up to a certain point in their age. More coming up here on the extension of childhood, the artificial extension. Free Talk Live.
Are you tired of paying $100 an hour for computer support just for the prompt to return? Hi, I'm Luke Ford, founder and CEO of My Computer Works. Whenever you have a major computer catastrophe or a simple question, give my U.S.-based computer technicians a call, and they'll remotely connect your computer and fix the problem for you. It's safe, secure, and you won't have to let a stranger into your home. Call now to receive 1 month of service free with a membership. Now let's hear from some of our satisfied customers.
They cleaned up the computer and I sat there and watched everything going on. I was just having a ball.
So the convenience of having My Computer Works connect to my computer right then, fix it for me immediately, is priceless.
I was having a lot of major problems with my computer, and they basically evaluated the computer and went through and eliminated the problems I was having.
Call now to solve all of your computer problems. 888-629-9903. 888-629-9903. That's 888-629-9903.
My Computer Works. Does yours?
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com, or call us at 989-637-4179. That's 989-637-4179. Be a part of the revolution today.
Fact. Rapid industrialization has resulted in environmental pollution, and its curse on world health is staggering. We live in a toxic world that is bombarded by 7 new chemicals each day. The human body is amazing and efficient in design, but because of the polluted world in which we live, is unable to remove all toxins. The solution. Detoxification integrated with Electro Qi Premier Energy Foot Spa. The Electro Qi Premier Energy Foot Spa helps to aid in cleansing the body of harmful toxins while energizing and oxygenating your entire body at the cellular level. Detoxification works with the Electro Qi Premier Energy Foot Spa because it addresses the needs of individual cells, the building blocks of human life, for mental clarity, restored vitality, a stronger immune system, clear skin, and health in every aspect of your being. Order your Electro Qi Premier Energy Foot Spa by visiting NutraMedical.com or call Dr. William Deagle at 888-212-8871, 888-212-8871.
Break the law and you're caught on film.
Practically impossible for police to spot plates that have been treated with a reflective spray.
The reflection blinded our camera.
We are under the microscope. Red light cameras and speed cameras are in place to make money, not for your safety. But you don't have to be defenseless against these unconstitutional devices. Have a fighting chance with SprayYourPlate.com's photo blocker. When properly applied, this revolutionary product has proven itself to be the most effective device available against traffic cameras. Invisible to the naked eye, your license plate, when flashed, will be overexposed and unreadable to the cameras. Save your money. Go to SprayYourPlate.com. That's SprayYourPlate.com. And check out the newscast showing the photo blocker in action, proving that the Spray Your Plate's photo blocker works against traffic cameras. Go to SprayYourPlate.com or call 1-800-276-9601. That's 1-800-276-9601. Don't give your money to the state. Spray Your Plate. And when the cameras flash, you'll save some cash.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. Only moments remain. Toll-free number for you to bring up anything is 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. It's Ian here with you.
And Julia.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features we give away, and if you like the show and you want to help support Free Talk Live, get all your shopping done at amazon.freetalklive.com. Enter Amazon through that link, and Free Talk Live will get a percentage of your purchase. Whatever it is you need to buy, Free Talk Live gets a cut. It has 41 categories in which you can shop, free Super Saver shipping on a whole bunch of items. You'll find what you're looking for, most likely the brands you trust, great deals, and Free Talk Live gets a percentage when you enter through amazon.freetalklive.com. I want to invite you to the Liberty Forum. It's coming up here in early March, March 5th through the 8th. The Free State Project is putting it on. It's happening in Nashua, New Hampshire at the beautiful Crown Plaza Hotel, same location as last year. Free Talk Live will, as we were last year, also be broadcasting live again every single night. And we look forward to meeting you there and having you meet all kinds of interesting people, hundreds of liberty-minded people, many of whom have already moved to New Hampshire, many of whom are already here in New Hampshire. Some of them have some people that will be attending will be considering moving to New Hampshire, and some are just going to come up to meet the big names, like Glenn Jacobs. You might know him as WWE's Kane, Dr. Mary Ruart from Healing Our World, Anthony Gregory from LouRockwell.com, Mark Stevens, Adventures in Legal Land, and Richard Heller from the Heller versus DC gun case. So many more, not enough time to announce them all, and more will be announced before the event actually kicks off. So go and get the early bird discount while you still can at freestateproject.org/libertyforum. Get signed up and save 10% with our discount code 2009FTL. That's 2009FTL to save 10% on the 2009 Liberty Forum. Go to freestateproject.org/libertyforum. We will see you there. We continue this story from LouRockwell.com's Doug French, doing a quick review of the book written by Mr. Robert Epstein. We've read an article, or an interview rather, with Epstein in the past when we've talked about this issue in the past on this show, and he is the man who is on the spot on the issue of childhood and extending it far beyond where it is supposed to be, where it's supposed to end. Basically, Robert Epstein is contending that once mammals reach puberty, they function as adults. And he's got the evidence to back it up. Except apparently in American society, where the culture essentially protects young people from the realities of the world as long as it possibly can, shielding them from real-life consequences and real-life experiences.
Well, many people would say that America is more complex than the rest of the world, so therefore they need to do that. And I think it's
that's poppycock.
To some extent, they shelter not just in America, but Western countries do this also. But
kids are brilliant, man, and they can pick up on stuff really fast.
They're teaching their parents how to use the computers, I can tell you that.
Right. I mean, the fact is, we were talking earlier about how what we've got today is a situation where the childification of American youth has resulted in people essentially still being childlike all the way into their 30s in some cases, but certainly into their mid-20s. So you end up with essentially what you basically have are young teenagers in adult bodies with these 21, 22, 19-year-old people, girls getting knocked up. The mentality is of a young teenage girl, but their age of their body is 20 years old. She gets pregnant. She doesn't know how to take care of a kid. She barely knows how to show up to work on time, but yet she's got a baby on the way. Whereas if it was if these kids were allowed to experience the real world, they would be out there working at age 12 and 13 and 14, and they'd be creating their own career for themselves. They'd be educating themselves, and then by the time they were 20, they'd have 7 or 8 years of work experience under their belt, and they'd be far more prepared to have a baby at that age. I'm still not saying I would recommend it, but at least at that point, it would make a little more sense.
I think a lot of people, when they hear things like 12-year-olds working, they sort of picture in their heads like little
kids,
in sweatshops and stuff.
Little fingers in sewing machines getting like buzz sawed right. off and things like that.
First of all, we don't have sweatshops in America. We went through an industrial revolution, and we are so wealthy as a country and so fortunate that we that would not happen. That would not be the situation at all. What I encourage young people to do is to at least get a part-time job. I mean, I started working 10 hours a week, and it wasn't much, but it taught me. First of all, it gave me money, which taught me to like work and appreciate work because I had money and no one else did. Everyone else had their mom's money, but this money was mine, and I had more money than anyone else my age.
And there's always selling newspapers.
Exactly. Well, you can do. Actually, I think that's something you can
do
younger.
That's what I'm saying. That's an option that you can get around the current rules with.
Or if your parents happen to own a business, you can usually make $3 an hour or something like that working for them. but you learn something, so you're really not getting screwed. I mean, a 12-year-old isn't as valuable as a 17-year-old, but I used to, one of my mom's really close friends used to own a barber shop, and I used to go and sweep up hair, and I think I probably got paid $5 or something like that. It wasn't very much, but I didn't do very much, so I didn't really deserve very much
money. But the people who want to protect children and extend childhood would say that your sweeping in that barbershop was an abuse. You were too young. You shouldn't have been doing that kind of work. But the problem is, who do they think they are to make those decisions for our children?
Right.
Who do
if
they
you
think
want
they
your
are?
Kids to be losers at age 26,
you
go
should,
for
yeah,
it.
You should be able to.
But
according to Epstein, he says that the unions back in the day, in the 1800s, didn't want competition from young workers who are likely smarter and more productive than the older workers. A work by David Weschler and J.C. Raven indicates that our highest mental age is in our mid-teens. According to Raven, apparently by the age of 14, a child's trainability has reached its maximum, while after the age of 30, a person's ability to understand a new method of thinking, adopt new methods of working, and even adapt to a new environment steadily decreases.
Of course. Boy. It's going to get so much worse for me then.
Of course.
I mean, I'm 37 and I hate new things. Hate them.
Of course, today's teens don't act like they have the most brain power in society. And how could they? They're isolated in government schools, away from adults, and given no responsibilities. They're infantilized. Infantilized by the many laws restricting young people. Curfew laws, tougher driving laws, teen wage laws, laws curtailing sexual activities, free speech restrictions at school, censorship of educational activities, dress codes, smoking and drinking laws, ad infinitum.
Infinitum.
Infinitum. But government and unions are not the only teen enemies. The author also makes the case, sometimes effectively, sometimes not, that everyone works against their teens being adults. The media portrays teens as self-absorbed. Business makes big bucks promoting teen culture, and even parents underestimate their teens' abilities. Epstein's book is chock full of examples of young people in history who've made tremendous contributions. Louis Braille, if he were a blind kid today, would be cooped up in special needs classes. Fortunately, Mr. Braille lived in the early 1800s and had perfected, you might have heard of it, the Braille system by the time he was 15 years old. Samuel Colt, you might have heard of him. He made a multi-round revolving head pistol when he was 16. Edgar Allan Poe had his first book published at 18, including poems he'd written at ages 12 and 13. The fact is, creativity's at its peak in early childhood and teen years. But as we enter adulthood, we learn to conform, which takes a toll on creativity.
You know, I was talking to a young guy who started working for us, and it's actually his first real job, he told me. And I was talking to him. He's kind of a dorky kid, really nice guy. And we started talking about computers and then eventually went to robots, which is one of my favorite subjects. And he told me that when he was young, like 10, he basically made a Roomba, a vacuum. He said that he programmed it with knots, basically, and there was like this string with knots in it, and it would determine how far it was going to go, and he could program the vacuum to go throughout the whole house just on this system of knots based on the measurements of the room. And I was amazed. Like, that's really cool.
And what did the adults in his life say to him at that time? I mean, I'm speculating, but some adults might have said something, "Oh, isn't that cute? Ha, ha, ha." You know, and they wouldn't have encouraged him to do anything about it because, well, what can you do? You're 12 years old. This is an attitude that a lot of adults have. It's a very, it's an attitude of superiority, an air of, well, I know more than you because I've been around longer and what I say is more important and you don't mean anything. You're just a kid. Well, they're not. They're young adults, and they're developing into to full-blown adults, and they should be allowed to develop in whatever ways they want to develop, but the laws and the society and the culture prevents that, and it's sad. Teen ingenuity remains high.
I'd like to make the point that if Edgar Allan Poe was living today, he could still write stories and publish those stories. He is not. You can still raise your kid to be an adult if you choose to do this. And
it's difficult, though, with the culture that they're in.
Certainly,
it's certainly not encouraged.
I think that if you treat your child like they're going to. My mom said she raised me to be independent, and that, I believe that. And I think that you can raise your kid to be independent. Now there's problems that are the laws make it difficult for them to get a job. However, there are things they can do in order to get work.
Public schooling was created to mold young people into compliant citizens and sapping their creativity. Teen ingenuity remains high, but given the need to rebel, lack of adult companionship, and laws prohibiting the signing of contracts, their creativity is rarely channeled into positive pursuits. In a test for adultness co-created by the author, the difference between how adults and teens scored was statistically insignificant. Epstein says that age isn't a reliable measure of adultness, at least not once people are past puberty. We'll see you tomorrow night.
DVD, books, music, instruments, periodicals, computers, software, electronics, photo, cell phone, office products, home and garden, bed and bath, furniture, kitchen, pet supplies, automotive, hardware, apparel, shoes, jewelry, grocery, healthcare, sports and outdoors, toys, games, used and more. It's a department store at your fingertips. Amazon.freetalklive.com. Get all your shopping done, a great deal, delivery to your door, and a percentage of your purchase will go to Free Talk Live when you enter Amazon through Amazon.freetalklive.com.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it in precious metals. Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid, it is private, it owes no one, it cannot go bankrupt, and it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 1-800-686-2237. The answer is at 1-800-686-2237.